Marco Werman, and this is The World. Everyone in Nepal remembers where they were when the earthquake hit last Saturday, like this American doctor in Kathmandu.
So I was actually at home doing laundry, actually.
We'll hear more from him in just a moment. Also today on The World, we'll hear about a living Nepali goddess who was at a temple praying when the ground started shaking. Now, 4 days later, aid is finally flowing into Nepal from all around the globe, but the needs of survivors are so great that a lot more help is needed, especially tents, food, and water, and medical supplies. Saturday's quake killed more than 5,000 people, double that for the number of injured. So we start our coverage today with that American doctor who's been treating the injured. Andrew Trotter fell in love with Nepal and moved there 2 years ago. He was working on a program in Kathmandu to counter diseases like TB and HIV. Then the earthquake struck.
You know, when you come to Nepal, it's been known that this might happen. And so I was prepared, but you still kind of are not sure exactly that it's happening in the beginning. And then I realized what was happening, got underneath the table and just kind of held on. But I never have felt anything like that.
After you got out from under the table, what happened next? Did you go straight to the hospital, see what was going on there?
Well, and there's an open area not so far from where I live. I actually live in an old part of the city, and there's really no foreigners there. And there was an open area where people played basketball and things like that. And so everybody kind of gathered there, and we're kind of talking and consoling each other. And at that time, there were aftershocks, and people were just kind of sitting on the ground because they didn't know what else to do, trying not to, you know, worry that things would fall on them. But it was open enough that people felt safer there than in kind of the crowded little, you know, alleyways in the neighborhood.
Right. And when did you realize that as a doctor, your skills might be desperately needed?
Well, so initially it was interesting because the area where I was living wasn't that damaged. There was some structural damage, but none of the houses completely collapsed. So I wasn't quite sure what the damage was until I got to the hospital and I saw what was coming.
What did eventually arrive at the hospital? Was it just one patient after another?
Well, initially, it was a flood of patients. Most of what we were seeing in the first day to 2 days was traumatic injury. So people that were struck by objects, people that were buried in houses that collapsed, people that were buried underneath bricks. So people had, you know, fractures of their skull, people had broken arms, broken legs, trauma to their chest, and things like that. And I've never been in the situation, but I felt like it was kind of like a war, like what it would feel like being in a war, because it was a lot of traumatic injury. And then over the next few days, we continued to see some people from Kathmandu, but then slowly people from the surrounding areas of the Kathmandu Valley and then outside of those areas were starting to come.
As a doctor, of course, you've got to keep your emotions in check, but have there been any instances in the past couple of days where it was just kind of too hard to do that?
Well, I think that you know, when you go through your training, you learn to just do your job. And you get into a mode sometimes where you're just doing what you know you have to do. And in those first patients that I saw initially, it was overwhelming, but you realize that you and I was there sometimes with a medical student or nurses, you had to do something right away. But I think when you have downtime, when you have a time to kind of take a deep breath, it's really difficult. It's very difficult to see, you know, to see children and elderly, you know, with such severe injuries, you know, and we do our best, but it's been, there have been a lot of patients that have come since this occurred on Saturday.
You're in Nepal because you love the country, you love the people. What have you noticed amongst the people and just how they're coping?
Well, I think it's very difficult. I think Nepalis knew that this was a possibility, but when the reality happens, I think no one can be completely prepared. I think in the beginning there was a lot of shock and there was a lot of, it was very emotionally difficult. And I think that I've seen recently, in the last day or two, I've seen more of the kind of emotional and psychological effects of an event like this, whereas in the beginning it was more the kind of medical side of things. But, you know, Nepalis are very social and community oriented people also. And I feel I've seen people really come together, and that being in Nepal for a long time and feeling like I have like a Nepali family also, it's really helped support me also, because they've reached out to me and kind of, you know, shown signs of solidarity just like they do with their own friends and family.
Andrew Trotter, an American doctor who lives in Kathmandu. Andrew, you've been a busy man. Thank you very much for your time.
Sure. Thank you.